I'd like to share with you a question that was asked in the scripture. Why did you put this mountain in front of me? No, the question was, why have you afflicted your servant? Remember who asked that? Moses. Moses said unto the Lord, go back, there you go. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Why do I have to do it? Have you heard them? Nothing but complaints. So, it came out. What have I done to you? Why have you afflicted your servant? Well, our Heavenly Father sends us frequent troubles to test our faith. The fact is, if our faith is worth anything, it will stand the test. This is the theme of James chapter 1, pretty much all of it. But verses 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. King James margin tells us this word for temptations also just means trials. So temptation is a lure to evil. Trial is just troublesome time. Knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. Don Atterbury was saying to me, I hate it when God's teaching me patience. I said, that's because the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work. In other words, cooperate with what God is doing with this trial. Cooperate with it. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. How would you like to be perfect, entire, and not lack anything? Then you got to go through this process. This is the goal of the Christian life now. We've already been saved. We will be taken up into heaven. But right now, the whole work is learning this. Going through the trials that this world sets up for us. God has understood it all and allows only what will be the best lesson for us. So if you have a poor faith, you have a poor faith if you can trust only when your friends stay true, when your body stays healthy, and your business remains profitable. Yes, I trust God. Now that's a poor faith. But you have true faith if you stand by the Lord when your friends betray, when your body is sick, when you feel depressed, when the joy of God hides behind some dark cloud of trouble. A faith that can say in the direst trouble, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job, of course. That faith is a spirit-born faith. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I remember that with the Daniel's three Hebrew friends and Nebuchadnezzar's grimly smiling at them saying, you're not going to bow to my statue? He said, I'll tell you what, if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And what God do you think could save you from that? And they said, our God can. But whether he does or not doesn't matter. We're not going to bow. Though he slay me, lets me drop into a fiery furnace, yet we will trust him. Let me give you a couple of motivations, a couple of answers. Number one, you glorify the Lord in affliction when it builds your graces before him. What is the challenge of this life as a Christian? That you become conformed to the image of Christ. That's what holiness is. Let's keep that in mind. Holiness is not some grim person that looks like he has a sour stomach just looking at everybody else, you know. This is Christ. Christ welcoming the children. This is Christ taking the hand of the leper to heal him. This is love. When your tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience hope, from Romans, you honor the Lord with growing virtues. You're weeding away the deformity of your sinful life, of your sinful condition, and taking on the beauty of holiness. Problems make some good things. Our meals are made delicious by slain animals and reaped vegetables. You have to crack a few eggs to make a good omelet, right? God reveals his wisdom and power when he allows his vessels, us, to pass through the fires of trial. There is a growing lesson in it all. So when you cooperate with it, when you let that process work, let patience have her perfect work, you find you are growing and you become Christ-like, and so you honor him, you glorify him. But then just on a practical level, number two, you heighten your future joy when you endure present afflictions. If you look at a good work of art, you'll see that the dark shades in life's picture highlights the beauty of the brightness. If it's all brightness, it doesn't have any depth, doesn't have any character. Could we fully sense the supreme blessedness of God's heaven if we had no curse of sin to work through or sorrow of trial to endure? Will not heaven be more satisfying if we have endured hunger? Will not the taste of life eternal be more refreshing if we have endured thirst? Will not the comfort of God's embrace be even more precious if we have been hurt in life's trials? Well, he knows these things, and that's why Revelation 7:17. Will not the memory of our sufferings enhance the bliss of heavenly life? For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them who've been hungry, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water who've been thirsty, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes who have suffered the mayhem of trials. So let the dear loving God teach you many other comforting answers to this question. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? He says, well, you think about it with me, and I'll give you some answers why I'm allowing you to go through this affliction. So meditate on it through your day.